You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Good morning, everyone. As you heard, it's an Up On Game takeover. Yes, yes, yes. I hope you have a nice warm coffee or tea or whatever it is that's your pick of the morning, your beverage of the day to get you started. I'm LeVar Arrington, my man TJ Hushmanzada. On the left, my man Stretch Armstrong. On the right, Voltron, I tell you, we formed a super crew. And if there's anybody that could come in and fill in for Dan and the Danettes, well, I would assume it'd be us. Good morning to you guys. How y'all feeling?
Man, pretty good. How you doing this early morning? At least early morning for us.
Yeah, you know, it feels good, man. It feels good. What about you, Plex? How you feeling, man? Did you get up? Did you do your thumb wrestling exercises and your toe raises and all that good stuff? How you feeling, man? Okay, good. That's good to know. I said we need to find Plex. Plex doesn't seem to be on air right now. But I got you right now, TJ Hushmanzada. That's fine. We got some great topics. And before we get going, I just wanted to make sure that I let you guys know about Mercedes-Benz. Yes, Mercedes-Benz vans, more specifically. Listen, where other, you know, vans stop short, Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond. From their customization options and cutting-edge tech to their five-star sales service and financial support crew, Mercedes-Benz vans are built, equipped, and engineered to be ready for anything. So go the extra mile by taking that all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Yeah, I love some vans, some Sprinter vans, TJ. You know, it's my thing, man. You know what I mean?
Like, hey, with the size of our family, Sprinter vans come in handy, don't they?
They do. All right, so let's jump into some topics. We got a lot to talk about. We got draft expert Mike Renner, lead NFL draft analyst for Pro Football Focus, coming on at 6:20 our time, 9:20 if you're on the East Coast, to talk about the draft and what we can expect, some feedback on that. But I want to start off the show. Obviously, we had the retirement announcement of Julian Edelman come out this week. A lot of people were, you know, heartbroken and you know, just hurt that Julian would call it quits. But after hearing him, you know, announce his retirement, it was basically discussed that, you know, it was his health and that, you know, that would be the thing. I hear we got Plex back on the line. Is Stretch there? Are we fully complete now?
Yes, sir.
We in all right, there room. We go. All right. So the I guess approach to this conversation for me is there's been a lot of fanfare, a lot of coverage of Julian Edelman and his retirement and all of the conversations that have spawned from it. And one of the biggest conversations, and you guys are both receivers, so I'm super interested to hear your guys' take on it, is Julian Edelman a Hall of Famer?
And Plex, who want to go first, Plex? You or I?
Yeah, I'll let you know.
You know what? When I heard he retired, and then, you know, it was all the talk about, is Julian Edelman a Hall of Famer?
You know what, Plex? Let me go first.
You go.
And the reason I said I'm sitting here listening to you talk, and people will say, oh, Julian Edelman, he should be at Hall. I'm going to just straight up answer the question. Absolutely not. He shouldn't be.
Okay.
And coming from a receiver, oh, you're hating. No, I'm hating. I'm keeping it 100. I'm being real with you. He's not a Hall of Famer. And, oh, he had great playoff success. I mean, when you play in a ton of playoff games and you play with the greatest quarterback ever, that's par for the course. Oh, he won a Super Bowl MVP. Well, in essence, our man Plexico should be in the Hall of Fame because, I mean, if I recall, he caught a game-winning touchdown to win the Super Bowl against one New England Patriots. And so all I know is Plex came into the league before I did. But when this is my criteria for the Hall of Fame, when they say name the top linebackers in the league, if your name doesn't come up in that conversation ever, you're not a Hall of Famer. So when you say for the last 12 years, name the top receivers in the league, you will name 15 or 20 guys before you get to Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman had a great career, was a really good player. But the Hall of Fame is the best of the best because of what he did. It's not the Hall of Fame for playoff edition. It's the Hall of Fame for the entirety of your career. And so I know Plexico played great, had tremendous success in the playoffs. He didn't play in the many playoff games, but he was the guy for the Giants when they made that Super Bowl run. I don't hear anybody saying Plexico Burress should be going to the Hall of Fame.
Why is that, Plexico?
Hey, man, you know when you look at, you know, guys going into the Hall of Fame and, you know what they've accomplished, you know, your resume as far as, you know, all pros, how many all pros did you make, and, you know, how many Pro Bowls did you make, how many Super Bowls did you win? So Shannon Sharp, who was not in the Hall of Fame, Shannon Sharp and myself. Sterling Sharp and myself had the same exact numbers. Sterling Sharp went to 5 Pro Bowls, and it was a one-time All-Pro. I didn't make it to any Pro Bowls, and my numbers were better than him. So there's a lot of discrepancies as far as who goes into the Hall of Fame. But I'm going to give you this. Just like TJ just said, Julian Edelman, a Hall of Famer? Absolutely not. Being a great playoff wide receiver does not make you a Hall of Famer. And these guys, when it comes to this wide receiver stuff, as far as who should be in the Hall of Fame, like, I get sensitive about it because I know how hard it is to play the position and do it at a high level and to not be recognized for your body of work. I'm going to just throw some names to you. Torrey Holt, 13,000. Henry Ellard, 13,000. Jimmy Smith, 12,000.
Jimmy Smith was cold.
Jay Smooth, Cliff Branch. These guys are still not in the Hall of Fame.
Still not in.
Isaac
Torrey
Bruce.
Holt.
Isaac Bruce.
Torrey Holt. I think he was the first wide receiver in NFL history to have 6 consecutive 13,000-yard seasons. This man is not in the Hall of Fame. And we're talking about Julian Edelman? Reggie Wayne. I mean, come on, man. Hey, we got to stop this nonsense somewhere. Hey, Julian Edelman, the Hall of Famer, my stats are blow his out of the water. I'm going to just be frank. I know he played with Tom Brady and played in a gang of playoff games, 620 receptions, 6,800 yards. What is that, 8-9 yards a catch? I don't know. I went to Michigan State. So I don't know how many yards he averaged. Because we're talking about 36 touchdowns? Him going to the Hall of Fame?
Don't even take the stats out of it.
36 touchdowns, and we're talking about Julian Edelman. Is he a Hall of Famer?
If you base it off of receivers, no. If you base it off of talent, like Julian Edelman, he can play. And it sucks when you do this because it feels like you're putting somebody down.
I'm not putting nobody down. I'm telling the truth.
And that's my point is when you say, hey, name a top 10 receivers in the league, you won't even think of him. You wouldn't even think of him.
It's not
and
even close.
So people that say the Hall of Fame, he had a platform in the playoffs that because he was with New England Patriots, he started as a quarterback at college at Kent State, backed up Wes Welker. I don't think he's better than Wes Welker, to be honest with you. And Wes Welker ain't getting in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he was Wes Welker's backup until Wes left.
Y'all remember how long it took for Art Monk to get into Hall of Fame?
Let me tell you a story about Art Monk.
Tell us. That's your area.
I think on the very first show I came out and said I grew up in Virginia Beach, Virginia. My mother was a diehard Washington football team fan. And I used to watch this guy run up and down the field, number 81, and his name was Art Monk. And he was the reason why I started playing the position. He's the reason why I started playing football. Mm. And when we made it to the Super Bowl back in 2007, on media day, on a Tuesday, they asked me, they said, how did you – when did you start playing football and what inspired you to play? And I told the same exact story. I saw a guy wearing number 81 with the same skin color as mine going out diving all across the field, making all these great catches. And I said, that's what I want to do. I want to be like Art Monk. And I paused during the question, and I said, you know what? Excuse me. Can we please put Art Monk in the Hall of Fame? We're talking about 25 years later, and this man was still
not well, in he was, the Hall of Fame.
No, he was not in the Hall of Fame
for a long time.
And he was the NFL league leader in history and receptions with like 889 receptions to that date. Mm-hmm. And he was still not in the Hall of Fame. And we're talking about Julian Edelman?
I'll say this. I think that Julian Edelman had a fine career. I also will say, as times have changed, and my answer is no. I don't believe he's a Hall of Famer. And we're discussing right now the retirement of Julian Edelman. And listen, I want to celebrate him, but us doing it wouldn't be proper if we didn't have the conversation. I think it, and to your point, TJ, it's not about us putting him down. I think it's actually a conversation that gives him a lot of props because we're actually having the conversation on. You're listening to the Dan Patrick Show with the Up On Game crew, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burris. You know, my idea of it is, if the conversation ensues, then there was a reason why. And this conversation has continued to circulate and really, really kind of grow some legs. So I wanted, you know, two of the guys I respect the most to have the opportunity to discuss if he was a Hall of Famer or not, from your opinion. Let's shift gears just a little bit. And you know, I think this is an interesting topic as well. We've discussed in prior shows about Bill Belichick, and I, you know, took a lot of heat for saying, you know, last week that Bill Belichick's seat may get warm if he doesn't have a good season this year. It kind of comes back full circle with Julian Edelman, as the conversation of why I believed his seat could become warm is, if you can't prove that the Patriot way is the Patriot way because of Bill Belichick and not because of Tom Brady, then I think that time could get interesting for Bill Belichick and also for the New England Patriots. So my next thought process on this whole topic was, are we looking at guys as Hall of Fame level players because of the New England Patriot way? Because I look at it like this, guys. If Julian Edelman has to be looked at or is being considered and being debated as a Hall of Famer, shouldn't we look at Troy Brown first? Shouldn't we look at Dave Patton first in terms of being a Super Bowl? Don't they have more accolades than Julian Edelman as New England Patriots? I mean, there are receivers that have come through there that, to me, were really good players that just maybe weren't A-list guys in terms of recognition and who they
LeVar,
were.
Like, Canton is the best of the
That's
best,
That's the best
man.
Of the best.
It's the best of the best. It's not the best in, oh, we'll take up. This is the best of the best, man. Like, I don't – people on national television that are saying this, they don't know, and this is kind of – they don't understand the game of football. And I'll argue with anybody about this. Receivers, you got to be able to get open in one-on-one coverage at all times on the inside and outside. You can't just sit in a slot and exactly. run option routes. Like, he had a hell of a career, but Canton is the best of the best. And Julian Edelman is good. He's not the best of the best.
All right, listen, Troy Brown, 3-time Super Bowl champ. Sound familiar? Okay. Made it to Pro Bowl in 2001. I mean, his numbers, 6,366 yards total.
I'll give you a Super Bowl MVP from the Patriots. What about Deion Branch? He was Super Bowl MVP.
Deion Branch is a great name.
He sure was.
Deion Branch is a great name. I'm just saying. So now the question becomes, is this based off of? Is this based off of the Patriot way?
Yes.
And what does that look like? Because they all had Tom Brady as a quarterback.
This whole conversation of is Julian Edelman a Hall of Famer is strictly and only based off his playoff numbers. Because and if you look at every statistical category, yards, receptions,
he's
touchdowns,
not a lead in any of them.
He's not. No, in the playoffs, yes, he is.
He's
in
number two in the playoffs behind Jerry Rice.
Yes, he's number two in the playoffs.
Is that the great qualifier though?
No, it's not. No,
so
it's
are they
not.
Moving a goalpost for the qualification? Right. I thought it was the entirety of a career, not
that's
just
what
playoffs.
I thought.
What
I mean,
did
I,
you do on a consistent basis for 12 or 13 years during your career, during the regular season?
All right, here's
what
we're
were you
do.
Elite during the regular season, Sunday in and Sunday out?
Hey, Plexico, you how you make it easy. Hey, name the best receivers in the league. If your name doesn't come up, you're not a Hall of Famer.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to open this up to the callers. We're going to have Mike Renner, lead NFL draft analyst at Pro Football Focus, coming on next. But we're going to open this up to the callers, all right? Call in 877-996-6369. Please stay on topic. Is Julian Edelman, in your opinion, your humble estimation, is he a Hall of Famer? We want to know why. But next, we're going to bring on Mike Renner, and we'll talk about some of the things that's coming on or coming up for this upcoming draft. You're listening to the Dan Patrick Show. I'm LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, Plexico Burris. We're going to take a quick break, but on the other side of this break, we'll have Mike Renner talking about some draft stuff.
The takeover, baby.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Yeah, it's me, LeVar Arrington, my man TJ Hutchmanzada, Plexico Burris. It's the Up On Game Takeover. That's all. We just going to fill in a little bit, give Dan a little bit of time to rest, enjoy a little bit of sleep. But who's not sleeping? Our next guest, Mike Renner, lead NFL draft analyst at Pro Football Focus. What's up, bro? Welcome him in. Talk some NFL draft. What's going on?
How's it going, fellas? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I just want to jump out of the gate real quickly and ask the question. Everybody is talking about the quarterbacks in this draft, and that's become kind of the storyline heading into the draft. Do you think that this has now turned into a quarterback-heavy draft where other, you know, big-name prospects may be getting pushed a little bit further down the draft board based upon all of the discussions and excitement surrounding these quarterbacks?
I 100% think so. I would be very surprised at this point if we didn't see quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and 4. I just think one – the quarterbacks are that good. They are that deserving. When you talk about guys like Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, and even Mac Jones into that mix, like those top four guys that I mentioned are that talented where if none of the other ones existed, they'd probably go number one overall. These are freakishly talented dudes. And then, two, the desperation is also that real. Like the Broncos desperately need a quarterback. There are the Washington football team desperately needs a quarterback. The Bears desperately need a quarterback. There are so many teams that they don't have that guy. You know you're not winning a Super Bowl nowadays to where I think you're going to see plays being made to go up and get one.
TJ? Plex?
Now, okay. I'm sitting here. I'm reading, and I see that Chris Collinsworth has said, Chris Collinsworth, he's part of Pro Football Focus, that Jalen Phillips is the best defensive player in the draft. Do you agree with that? I'm a skilled guy, and I look at physical freaks like Micah Parsons.
There you go.
And then you look at corners like J.C. Horn and Caleb Farley. What do you say? Do you believe he's the best defensive player in the draft?
I do not. I'm going to have to disagree with my boss there. He's a talented dude, but it's Micah Parsons. It is the Penn State linebacker. Runs a sub 4.4, 246 pounds.
Come on.
Like, a top five tape, and he hadn't even played until he only played his sophomore year. Like, that was his last time we saw him. Like, he was a young guy. The last time we saw him on tape, didn't even get to, you know, complete that development that you get in college football, and is still being talked about in that air because that's the type of player we're working with. I love Jalen Phillips. I think he's a fantastic prospect. Obviously produced this past year at Miami, but like Micah Parsons is a different breed at linebacker.
Different dude.
Sheesh. Hey, I love this. Hey, I love this NFL draft coming up. A lot of talent at the wide receiver position, but I'm watching this guy Kyle Pitts from the University of Florida, who kind of like reminds me of myself. He's 6'6", 245 pounds, runs a 4.4. He is shooting up the draft board. What do you think he's going to end up, and how good do you think this guy's going to be?
It's tough to really pigeonhole or sort of peg down where he's going to end up, because it's still a tight end. Like, it's still, if you're drafting him, you're going to have to kind of have a plan to use him, and it's not necessarily everyone's offense really sets up well for him. But I think even if you're just considering him a wide receiver, he's, you know, in the mix with guys like Ja'Marr Chase, Jaylen Wilde, Devontae Smith. And the beauty is, like, he's not a wide receiver. You're going to have to treat him like a tight end. So he's going to get matched up against safeties and linebackers at the NFL level. And that's just a mismatch. And so it would not surprise me if he is the first non-quarterback drafted in this class, whether it's to the Bengals, to the Dolphins. I think he comes off the board somewhere in the first seven picks, because even if you've got a tight end that's, you know, starting right now, even if you're the Detroit Lions, you got T.J. Hockenson. Kyle Pitts is not a redundant player to you. He's the highest PFF grade we've ever given to a tight end. And he did a lot of it literally just on the outside, beating cornerbacks one-on-one. And I think that's the thing that a lot of tight ends cannot do, and why you usually say don't draft those guys highly, because you just put a cornerback on them and all of a sudden they're toast. That's not the case with Kyle Pitts.
So you believe the Falcons pass on him at four?
I just think the Falcons will trade back. I think there will be suitors to want to come up to pick number four for a quarterback, and then they're going to get an offer they can't refuse. But if I'm the Falcons and sitting at four and I have to draft, and I'm not getting trade offers, Kyle Pitts is who I would take.
So you're saying that there's some NFL offenses that he does. He 245 pounds. One thing I've learned about playing in this league for 12 years is that you can neutralize speed, but you can't neutralize size. You can back up off of speed, but when you have a guy who is 6'6", 245 pounds, and he's probably going to be faster than the cornerbacks and safety that he's playing against, you can't neutralize size. Just give a guy a chance to go up and make a play, and probably I would say 85-90% of the chance he comes down with it. But you can plug this guy anywhere. I really believe that as far as him run blocking, that may be one of the things that may be in question for him. But as far as putting him out on the edge and as far as making plays, I mean, I think the guy's dynamic.
Oh, I agree. I just worry a little bit about it. I was more saying, like, not every offensive coordinator is going to come in and say, oh, we have this role where we can put him on the outside and put him on the inside. A lot of guys might just see him as tight end and say, we're going to plop him down as tight end and then not value that as much.
That's Mike Renner, lead NFL draft analyst at Pro Football Focus. Make sure you pay attention to his stuff that he's got going on. Mike, it's interesting to think that there is a lot of talent in this draft coming up. Who has the most pressure on them? Is it the Jets at two? Is it the Niners? Is there a right or a wrong decision for these teams? For me, I think if Justin Fields is not the second quarterback off of the board, that puts tremendous pressure on whoever it is that goes before him, and it puts tremendous pressure on that team, because I think back to guys like, well, Aaron Rodgers or a guy by the name of Patrick Mahomes. You know, I think of guys that have been passed up. Deshaun Watson. Is there pressure? Who has the most pressure on them to get their pick correct in this year's draft?
I think it's the 49ers. The Jets obviously have pressure too, but the Jets are kind of Jets at this point. I think fans are expecting it's going to fall apart. Like the 49ers, though, they gave up the next 2 years of draft for this one. So you better hit this one out of the park or else it could get ugly. You're not going to be able to find any more top-end talent the next couple of years in the first round. So I think that in and of itself, to make that play after number three overall, you better get it right, because if you don't, all of a sudden, there's your window, your Super Bowl window that you got this young, talented roster that brought you there 2 years ago. All of a sudden, it's going to close if you draft a quarterback who really gets out there and is not, you know, playing at a high level.
And Pro Football Focus would draft who?
I would draft Justin Fields there. Obviously, I think at this point, Lawrence and Wilson are going 1 and 2. I think that's kind of almost set in stone. I would draft Justin Fields because of the way he can open up your offense. I think that Mac Jones might be a better schematic fit with just playing what he did at Alabama and then translating it to what he would do in San Francisco. But Justin Fields is a good schematic fit who can also bring more to your scheme, who can also open up the playbook in the running game, who can also extend it down the football field with his arm strength in ways that Mac Jones can only dream about. And I think that's why you make the play to go up to number three overall, why you give up future drafts, is to get that high end that you're not getting with Jimmy Garoppolo and you're not getting with Mac Jones.
So when you look okay, at go ahead, Plex, go ahead.
Let me ask you this, man. Where do you see my New York Giants at? Because I'm hearing Jalen Waddle. I don't know what's going on with their pick. Do you think they're going to get Daniel Jones some help on the outside to help him progress and make plays? Or where do you see the New York Giants drafting at?
I think they'll go offense. I do think they give him some help. I do worry a little that Dave Gettleman, obviously kind of on the hot seat there, going to make some job-saving moves and try to maybe just plug holes, and that might mean offensive line, maybe getting someone like Rashawn Slater from Northwestern or Elijah Vera Tucker from USC just to kind of plug there at guard and say, okay, now we got our pass protection fixed, because obviously watching them last year, that was their biggest issue. But, man, it would be hard for me to pass on Jalen Waddle. That guy plays football at a different speed than everyone on tape, even at Alabama last year played. He is electric, not only with the ball in his hands, but even as a route runner. Like, he, even compared to Henry Ruggs last year, watching them both on tape at the same time, he's, in my opinion, a much, much better route runner. So that's what I would lean. But I do think, ultimately, I would be surprised if they don't go offensive line.
Mike, we really appreciate you coming on. Last question before we let you go.
I knew this was coming. I was waiting for it.
What? I'm not even going to Penn State. I'm not. Listen, I'm not going to say that Jason Oway should be a top 10 pick or Michael Parsons should be a top 10 pick. I'm not going to do that because, I mean, when you get guys that are as talented and as gifted as them and that run 4.38s and 4.36, when have we ever heard of that and the talent that goes with it? I'm not going to talk about those things. But what I wanted to ask you, Mike, was, do you have a diamond in the rough going into this draft? Because we get so caught up into looking at the big name guys and what they're going to do. But then there's always the guys that, you know, we know are going to end up being really, really strong professionals that people just don't talk about. And then we turn around, we look back 2-3 years later, and we're like, why didn't we talk about this guy more going into to his draft? What draft class was he in? You know, all these different questions. Who's your diamond in the rough if you have one?
My biggest one in this draft class would probably be Walker Little, the Stanford tackle, because what we last saw from on tape was 2 years ago. He got hurt in 2019, only played one game.
He was a number one recruit coming out of high school.
Exactly.
I remember
him. In 2020, was a five-star type of recruit, goes to Stanford. David Shaw raved about him, started him as a true freshman, was improving a ton, was kind of in the mix for that top tackle last year. But then again, as it got hurt, and we have only seen one game from him in the last 2 years. People kind of forgot about him, but the physical tools that he has and what he did at his pro day and kind of the improvement we were seeing from him, he was going to be in that top 10 to 15 mix if he just stayed healthy, and he didn't. But now he is back healthy, and I think people are kind of forgetting about him in a deep tackle class. But if he falls the second round, you could, like I said, be getting a top 10 to 15 player.
Well,
I agree. I remember that year Stanford had the number one and number two high school tackles in the country, and he was one of them. I actually like that. That's a diamond in a rough that could have people saying, wow, how did we miss this guy? That was actually pretty good. I thought you were going to go skill guy. That was great, actually.
What about Christian Darrisaw, old tackle out of Virginia Tech?
I don't know if he's a diamond at this point. I think everyone are in the rough at this
just
point.
Just everybody
he's
knows.
Fairway. Yeah, everyone's hitting this guy lob wedge into the green right now because he's so dominant on tape last year at Virginia Tech. I'd be surprised if he, you know, falls past Washington or Chicago at number 19 or 20 there.
Man, that's love to hear that. That's I wasn't promoting him because of any personal ties or anything, but he is a pretty phenomenal young man that has had an amazing career at Virginia Tech. Anyway, Mike, it's been great having you on. This is Mike Renner, lead NFL draft analyst for Pro Football Focus. Make sure you pay attention to his mock drafts, his lists, his analysis. We brought him on because he's the best at what he does. So we're happy to get you on, man. And yeah, we'll talk to you soon, bro.
For sure, fellas. Thanks for having me on. Have a good one.
Appreciate your time,
Mike. Absolutely. All right. Sounds good. All right. Now, I want to revisit the Patriot Way, guys, because we're opening it up, again, to the phone lines. If you want to get in on this, is Julian Edelman a Hall of Famer? 877-996-6369. We're going to take your calls on the other side of this break, but we're not taking a break just yet. I'm interested in hearing from you, TJ, and Plex, before we go to the callers. It's the Patriot Way, when we look at it, is Edelman a product of Tom Brady, or is he a product of Bill Belichick? And I guess it doesn't have to be an either or, but which one, is it the scheme that made Julian Edelman, or is it Tom Brady's ability to read the defenses within the scheme and understand how the scheme works for Tom Brady and how it works for, you know, him? Because I mean, when, again, you look at it, there are a lot of guys. We could look at Amendola. We could look at, like we mentioned before, Deion Branch, David Patton, Troy Brown, Givens. There are so many different receivers that have had some good success in Super Bowl runs with this team. Is it more the schematics, or is it more Tom Brady? Is it the Patriot way, or is it Tom Brady's way?
I'm going to say it's 70% Brady, 30% the system. And those guys you named, they had success. They didn't have the type of success that Julian Edelman had. Wes Welker, in my opinion, had a better career than Edelman. Deion Branch physically was, in my opinion, a better receiver than Edelman. But Edelman had more success in the playoffs. That's because Deion got traded to Seattle financially, got lifetime security when he got traded to the Seahawks. But when you have Tom Brady, and he is, I would guess, in pretty much everybody's estimation, the greatest quarterback to ever play, that helps, and that helps a ton. But New England, they also have great coaches that put in a system that fits the players. And so Julian Edelman benefited from that. He has to get open, but it helps when you have a quarterback like Brady throwing you the ball. And I think everybody would admit that. If you could play your entire career with Tom Brady, you should do very well.
Listen, if you understand – offense and you understand pro football is exactly what TJ just said.
And let me cut you off, Clax. When I say entire career, I mean, because last year he was hurt, so last year really doesn't count, but I'm sorry.
Yeah, when you talk about what TJ just said, man, it's a culmination of all of those factors. You're talking about Tom Brady. What wide receiver has not had success playing with Tom Brady? I mean, let's just go down the list. And, you know, the reason why a guy like Deion Branch and Patton and some of these guys that played with him didn't have the success that he had because Julius Edelman played there for 12 years. So therefore, his stats would be, you know, a lot better than some of the guys that he played. Wes Welker was playing for the Miami Dolphins before he came to New England, and overnight, Wes Welker just took off. Nobody really knew who Wes Welker was when he was playing for the Miami Dolphins.
Nobody knew.
So yeah. So then, when you get to the, you know, the schematics and the game planning and all of those things, and you got the GOAT on the center, everybody knows who the GOAT is. Julian Edelman plays the number three wide receiver. What that means is he is basically the closest wide receiver to the end of the line of scrimmage. What does that mean? He plays against a lot of linebackers. He plays against the nickels, who are the first, you know, the fourth best defensive back on the field. And he basically just runs a lot of read routes. For all you people on the outside do not know what a read route is, he is basically running a 5-6 yard in or out based on the leverage of the defender. And it's hard to not mess that up.
It's almost impossible.
Yeah, when you have a guy like Tom Brady,
cloud or
and Julian Edelman is released up the field 6 yards, he is going to run this route based off of where the linebacker is playing him and where the defensive back is playing him. If the defensive back is playing outside and the linebacker is sitting there, he's going to hook it up. If the guy wants to play inside, he's going to get up on him and make a move and go outside. So when you running this offense and you're running these routes with a guy like Tom Brady, you're going to catch a gang of passes. It's not like they're putting them on the outside and say, you know what, we need you to win right now on 3rd and 7 versus bump and run coverage. We need you to get open. That is not the case with Julian Edelman. It's never been the case.
You done?
No, go ahead.
We good? You done? Go ahead. Finished yet?
I'm finished.
Because I'm with you on that. I mean, I thought you was done. I apologize. I digress.
Well, you know what? They did a great job of hiding him.
Was what you were saying. That was the point you was getting at?
Yes, sir.
Jeez. All right. Well, I know what you think. I know what TJ thinks. I want to know what the callers think. You're listening to the Dan Patrick Show with LeVar Arrington. That's Plexico Burris you just heard right there, giving you some amazing analysis. And TJ Hushmanzada with his breakdown as well. We're going to get the callers on the other side of this break, though, because I want to hear what the education of our callers, what's the IQ level, the football IQ level of our callers on the other side of this break. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Good morning to y'all. Hope that you're off to a great start. We've been having some great conversations. Right now, we want to jump out to the phone lines and see what the callers are thinking. All right, so we're going to go into Miami. Matt, what say you about Julian Edelman? Hall of Famer, yes or nay?
I got to say yay. Definitely okay. A Hall of Famer.
Give us the reasons why.
Well,
the reasons.
At first, I need to ask, what color is that Haterade you guys drinking today?
Oh, okay. Well, I don't
know.
A lot of hate going on.
Okay, hold on. Get to your point.
I'll get to my point. What is the point of a receiver's job? It's to get open. And what did Edelman do? He gets open. That's the number one job. Hey, what's your number one job as a receiver? Get open so the quarterback
catch
can
the
find
football. Can I ask you who's your
the
favorite
The number one
team?
Job of a wide receiver is to catch the football.
Okay. Did he do that?
Who's your favorite football team?
The Patriots.
The who?
The Redskins.
Okay.
They're not a team. Let me
ask you this question. And – Have you been a Washington football team fan for a while?
Yeah, since I was born.
Okay, so would you say Julian Edelman's a better receiver than Santana Moss?
Yes, I would.
Let me ask you a second question. Let me ask you a second question.
And neither can Julian Edelman.
Do you think Julian Edelman is better than Gary Clark?
Ooh.
Is that a tough one? Exactly my point. And Gary Clark is not in the Hall of Fame.
And that's not even close, though. That's not even a debate. Gary Clark is one of the dopest receivers.
That way, though.
I don't know, man. Gary Clark, bro.
Well, listen, I mean, was Josh Gordon, is Josh Gordon a better receiver than Julian Edelman?
No. Talent-wise, potential-wise, yes, but as a pro, no, not even close.
Would you put Julian Edelman? That's interesting you say that, though, because Josh Gordon is faster, bigger, probably catches the ball, but I don't know.
Josh Gordon was a better football player than Julian Edelman. Getting open
and catching the football, that's your job as a receiver.
Yeah, but you have to do that. Thanks, Mike. We appreciate it because we got to get other callers. But it's not just catching the ball and running routes to get open. It's how you catch the balls. It's how you get open. It's the yards. It's the accolades. It's the awards. It's the accomplishments. There's a lot more to it than just you got to get open. I mean, receivers have to get open. That's everybody's job. Let's jump. Let's get Jeremy before we get a quick break. Jeremy and Bama, what you got? You got to make it quick, though, bro.
I'm going to say no, and I'm going to shut that first caller down right here. Because he said he was always open and he always had catches. If that's the fact, then listen to this. Wes Welker, receptions, 903. Edelman, 620. Yards, 9,924. Edelman, 6,822. Welker, touchdowns, 50. Edelman, 36. The difference between them two players, Welker 0-3 in the Super Bowl, Edelman 3-0 in the Super Bowl. He won three Super Bowls. That's the only reason anybody's talking about whether he goes into the Hall of Fame. If we're talking about going based on numbers, Welker goes in before Edelman does.
Hey, you know what? One thing I can say, people down in Alabama know about football.
I'll say this before we go to break. 5-time Pro Bowler, 2 times on the first team All Pro, which is hard. That's crazy. Very difficult to do to become a first team All Pro. 2 times on the second team All Pro, led the NFL in receptions 3 times. We're talking about Wes Welker. I don't think that it's even up for debate for that. So. Anyway, you know, that I guess that's one of those debates that will continue on as we move through, I guess, Wes Welker's career. But next, we're going to talk about a couple different things. We're going to shift and go into basketball and talk about this round ball and, you know, what Kyrie Irving and Dennis Schroeder had going on. Anyways, you're listening to the Dan Patrick Show. We're the Up On Game crew, Fox Sports Radio. We'll be right back.